Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 26. Well, we have 25 on the board, but we'll just read the translation since there's no purport. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, his lips trembling. He spoke as follows to Shananda, the son of his guru, Sukracharya. Brahma bandhu kim etat te vipaksham shravayat sata asaram grahito balo mam ad da mam ana dritya dormite Brahma Bandho, O unqualified son of a Brahmana, Kim Etat, what is this? Te, by you, Vipaksham, the party of my enemies, Shrayata, taking shelter of, Asata, most mischievous. Asaram. Nonsense. Grahitaha. Tort. Bala. The boy. Mam. Me. Anadritya. Not caring for. Dormite. Oh, foolish teacher. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O unqualified, most heinous son of a Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and have taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? Purport. In this verse, the words Asara, meaning having no substance, is significant. For a demon, there is no substance in the process of devotional service. But to a devotee, devotional service is the only essential factor in life. Since Hiranyakashipu did not like devotional service, the essence of life, he chastised Prahlad Maharaj, his teachers, with harsh words. The Bhagavatam shows us the example of devotees on one side and the other example of demons. Now, we have plenty of experience of being demons, so it is not difficult to identify in one sense with Hiranyakashipu, although he's not our favorite personality in the Bhagavatam in one sense. I hope not. But, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita budoyam navijananti lokoyam ajam avyayam. That I'm never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who are unborn and inexhaustible. We might condemn Hiranyakashipu that he's a fool and rascal. But then again, we have to see how much of a fool and rascal are we. Krishna's energies are not so simple that, oh, this person's a demon, he should be killed. Well, if that's the case, we might be in danger ourselves. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Melbourne, and he was talking about the four regular principles. It's quite a heavy lecture. And Prabhupada said, and if they eat meat, they should be killed. And then one hippie boy walked in the back. And if they have illicit sex, they should be killed. And then Prabhupada would point right at the hippie boy and went, and he ran out. So in one sense, everyone will be killed. We don't have to. By the laws of material nature, everyone is killed. And at the same time, we have to marvel at Krishna's incredible energies. How in this universe alone, which is just one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds, with, practically speaking, unlimited entities even in this universe. I don't know if coronavirus is a living entity in there, but there's enough bacteria in even our own body, which are souls. We may think we're the enjoyers of this body, but believe me, there are billions of living entities enjoying it more than we are. We eat, we get a little taste, but you know, those little entities down there, they're just waiting. Thanks a lot. Lunchtime, friends, let's go get it. And considering that they're actually, we think we're this human form, and they think they're a bacteria, if they think very much at all. They don't have to worry about thinking and being worried. They just look, wow, food, let's eat. Simple life, but free of anxiety, unless you meet a bigger bacteria who's hungry. But unlimited living entities throughout this whole universe, they're all completely bewildered. And we're also bewildered to one degree or another. And Krishna says, Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya dharatya, mameva ye prapadante, mayam etam tarantite. That this energy of mine is difficult to overcome. Because it's divine energy. It's being ruled by the divine energy of Krishna. But those who take shelter of me, they can easily cross beyond this material energy. So until someone actually takes shelter of Krishna, we should understand they're, well, if we say completely crazy, people will get disturbed. Well, they're crazy, to be polite. Prabhupada put out this pamphlet, because in the beginning, I remember when I joined the movement, back when the dinosaurs used to roam. Yeah, I look a lot younger than I am. So at that time, everyone was growing their hair long. And I remember seeing, you know, in one of my classes, there was this person, a student, and he had shaven head. I thought, my God, could it be cancer? what is this? And then someone else in my class, the same class I had, their head was also shaved. I said, my God, it must be contagious. And then I came and, well, I found out that I went to the temple a little while after that, and they were there. And soon there were three people in that class with shaven heads. So people could not understand what's happening with these people. You know, what's wrong with them? Obviously there's something wrong. And we were looking at everyone else, thinking, my God, look at all these people, what's wrong with them? So that's how I was quite a good student at the university. It's part of my nature. Compete against everyone else. And some of my teachers liked me a lot. And then when I became a devotee, my God, what happened to you? Get away from me. I never knew this student in my life. So that's the nature. People have no idea what we're talking about. That's if we have any idea what we're talking about also. And generally speaking, since we don't have any idea, we're even more forceful in presenting it, just to convince ourselves. We don't care about convincing this person so much. I got to convince myself. Yeah, Krishna is God, you rascal. You're a fool and rascal. And that's the nicest thing I can say about you, because I want to be polite. I told you the truth, you'd actually get angry. So we should understand that this energy of Krishna is quite powerful. And somehow or another, Brahmande Brahmite Kom Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lat Tapish. We've all been wandering, unless we dropped out of the spiritual world, I don't know. Maybe some of us from the spiritual world. But if not, according to that verse, we've been wandering throughout the whole universe, up and down, looking for some happiness. As I said before, even the songs we sing nowadays, I can't get satisfaction. That the person who's singing it is still singing it. He has nothing else to sing. So everyone's going up and down throughout the whole universe looking for some happiness, some satisfaction. And they can't get it. But they're trying, and they're going to keep on trying because they don't know of anything else until they come in contact with an actual devotee. One who's actually in consciousness of Krishna, who can explain Krishna consciousness to someone appropriately so they get some idea that there's some higher experience, samskara. The Veda culture gave little samskaras in the beginning, because according to the scripture, that janmana jayate shudra, that by birth everyone is born as a shudra. So that doesn't have a good sound. If someone calls us, hey, Prabhu, you're a shudra. Really, I'm going to report you. This is abuse. He's mentally abusing me. Psychologically, emotionally abused. What did he do? He called me a shudra. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I told him not to call people shudras. I was distributing books one time in the Philadelphia airport with another devotee, and one Indian gentleman came by. And at that time, people were really enthusiastic about what's called breaking up sales. They'd follow you around. If someone stopped, they'd immediately go, hey, they'd grab their arm and say, no, don't listen to him. He's of the devil. So this Indian man happened to be a Christian. And so being a Christian and an Indian, he had to be twice as determined to break up the sale as an ordinary person. He had to prove he's not an Indian, he's a Christian. He's not a Hindu. So the devotee turned around. After some time, the devotee got frustrated and looked at the Indian man in his face and said, you're a mudha. And the Indian man turned white. And he said, you called me a what? Mudha! A what? And he ran away. Got the police. Police came. And said, it's true. He insulted me. And the policeman said, well, what did he call you? He said, he called me a mudha. And the policeman said, what? A mudha! And the policeman looked at him and said, don't bother me. And walked away. And the man went, ah! and disappeared. So everyone has this conception of who they think they are and how they should be treated. And it's like completely absorbed in that conception of the false ego. They're living in a world According to the Bhagavad Gita, Sattva Nirupa Sarvasha Shradhad Bhavati Bharati Sharamayaya Purusha Yoyat Stratas Eva Saha. That according to the modes of material nature, one has a particular kind of faith. So we're living in these modes of nature. Even if we were in goodness like Brahma, unless Brahma is a four, as a pure devotee, he looks in the mirror and says, "My God, I hope no one complains. I got four heads." A little unusual, but I'm a lot smarter than anyone else is. I got four brains. Everyone else only has one. What's that? Yeah, he is. In any case, everyone respects him. If he came here, they'd probably arrest him, put him into a circus. In any case, even Brahma, who's in the topmost level of goodness, he also thinks I'm Brahma, if he's not a pure devotee. So everyone is walking around in this modes of material nature, and we all have our conception, who we think we are, what we think is going on, how we think people should respect me, or how I should relate to others. But it's not real. But still, Sattva Nirupa Sarvasha Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddhamayoyo Purusho Yoyastratas Eva Saha. Still, according to the conception we have to act, because everyone has to do something. Not act simply with the physical body, we're acting with our minds. Some thoughts are going through, and according to our conception, therefore we're accepting and rejecting certain ideas. And whatever we do, we're going to get some result from it. And generally speaking, people are simply changing from one mode to the next, and because they have no clear direction, they're going to a lower mode of nature with everything they're doing, everything they're thinking, everything they're feeling. It's simply bringing them down. The only hope is the holy name. Now, we may give people so much philosophy, just like in the class. Unless I told a few jokes, everyone would just fall asleep. What's the use of this class? We heard it so many times. What is it? He thinks he's going to tell me something I haven't heard. Then you got to go into these really esoteric scriptures and tell these stories that no one heard. Wow, finally. Something interesting. I didn't hear it, but it's different at least. What's that? That's a good... Unless you tell a few jokes and people think, wow, got the energy going, now I can eat prasadam. Otherwise, if I fell asleep, my digestion would slow up and class would be completely useless. But the fact is, we have to realize that our philosophy, our presentation, is not going to help people very much. They have no idea. They're looking at, basically speaking, when we're talking to most people, they're looking at us and saying, "My God, what happened to him? I wonder what his parents look like." But that's what he looks like. What does his parents look like? What kind of upbringing did he get? Where did he drop in from? They're not going to hear a word of philosophy. Even though it may make perfect sense to us, your body's changing. Now he's insulting me even more. He's criticizing my body. But you're not changing. Now he's criticizing me. Saying I'm stubborn or something. Is that what he said? I can't change. I didn't come here to change. I heard the food was good. What are they telling me? What did he say about hog, dog, cat, camel? What is he talking about? Therefore, the only hope is the holy name in the sage. That somehow or another, people can come to the temple, hear the holy name, and if it's presented nicely, can actually appreciate, "Oh, this is nice. It sounds good." and then they may become a little purified. And if they're can see things a little bit differently, if they actually get a little samskara, their consciousness changes, they feel a little happy, they don't know why, but then they may come back and get a little bit more. So we're trying to give people happiness, not philosophy. Of course, philosophy will come back later, because that will give them the key to get happiness more often. If they understand philosophy, they can understand where to avoid. So when they do chant Hare Krishna, the effect increases. But ultimately, without the holy name in this age, people are simply going to remain in their material conception of life. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. It's very, illusion is quite thick, and it's getting ever more thicker. And what seems perfectly obvious and logical to us, people haven't the faintest idea what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, they believe exactly the opposite. Whatever you're telling them, usually philosophically, they're thinking is just convincing them that you're even more insane than they thought you were, by just by looking at you. That you're even more pitiful beyond their ability to help you. So they won't say a word. I can't help this person. He's too far gone. He's in past Never Never Land. He's in a place that even Twinkle Bell can't figure out. Therefore, we should understand Hiranyakashipu is obviously not a very devotional personality, but he's like everyone else. Prahlad had already preached to him, but not even the smallest part of that sound vibration reached in Hiranyakashipu's ear. Although Prahlad was the greatest devotee, ecstatic devotee, he could not penetrate Hiranyakashipu's brain. Or what to speak of his heart. Therefore, we should be nice to people, try to meet people on a level so that we don't agitate them. So then when the holy name comes, they can actually somehow or another listen to it a little bit and become benefited and maybe change their lives a little bit gradually. And so one day they can actually become a devotee. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments, questions?
Just to emphasize one point, and it's not for the devotees, it's for people in general. In 1977, Prabhupada pretty much changed his mood a lot when he was preaching. And one of the things he kept talking about was, he was talking a lot about preaching. And the devotees were coming with reports about some of the preaching events, and some of the reports weren't so, what we say, exciting to hear. In other words, the results weren't that good. And Prabhupada just, twice he said it within a series of a couple months, he said, in this age people cannot understand philosophy. He said, just distribute the holy name and distribute prasadam as much as possible. This is our weapons in this age for changing people towards Krishna. He said it a couple times, and he made it really emphatic when he said it. So we still try to give knowledge in a general sense, but as you say, unless they get a little bit purified, they can't understand anything. So that was Prabhupada's point towards the end. So what he says towards the end usually has a lot more weight, because he wants to really leave behind his main points.
Good.
Yeah, that's just that one point. I just wanted to emphasize that point. So, we can do that. We can just distribute holy name everywhere and just mass amount of prasadam distribution. We do the holy name, but people really, really resonate with prasadam. They love it.
Even the fish, they threw some... They threw some of the cookies to the fish, and the fish actually became enlivened. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they were just swimming we thought they were, they're just swimming one direction, not going anywhere. Then finally, there was some prasadam thrown into the water, and thousands and thousands of fish suddenly woke up. Hey, there's something to do here. Of course, we distribute books also, which Prabhupada stressed above everything, because number one, devotees, when they get the chance, well, people, when they get the chance to meet a devotee who's enthusiastic, that will also change their lives a little bit, give them impression. Generally, and number two is that when they, if they do have the good fortune of getting more association with devotees and chanting, then one day they might pick up the book to find out what's in there. But otherwise, they pick up Bhagavad Gita, they try to go to the first chapter, you know, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveda Yutsavaha, Mame Kambhana Vaishava, Kima Kurva Dasanjaya. They told me this is about medical practice or something. What is this got to... They told me this will make me... free me from all anxiety and stress. Yutsavaha. Fighting. This is what is going to free me from distress. I'm already fighting with enough people. Better I'm going to read a book about fighting. But if they become a little curious and they get the, you know, some impression from the holy name or prasadam or whatever, association with devotees, they may think, all right, let me go through this chapter. Maybe there's something more in there for me. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. It's been always puzzling to me that Hiranyakashipu attacks the teachers.
So he attacked everyone. He went around the universe attacking all the demigods. Why a few little teachers, but yeah. Oh.
So that was the question. Why was he so angry at the teachers?
He couldn't, you know. As far as he understood, his wife, you know, was chaste, and Prahlad was in the womb. He came out when he was there, and suddenly, you know, he didn't go to Gurukul, Prahlad Maharaj. He was with the demons. His whole life he's with the demons. So he figured, how did this happen? It must be my teachers. Couldn't figure out any other way. So he was really bewildered. So he, of course, he was, by nature, Hiranyakashipu was always angry. So he had to turn on someone. He could have hit the little kid for a couple of times, but no, not much fun hitting a little kid. So he turned on the teachers.
Did they survive?
The teachers? Oh, he didn't hit the teachers. I mean, he was just angry. He accused them. But they got out of it. You could tell that they were actually innocent because they looked like bona fide demons. They're his kind of people.
Well, they fought back later. They actually said, you know, you're going to offend a Brahmin.
Yeah.
He got angry at him. Yeah. And so it was kind of like a fight.
Yes.
Maharaj, I'm always fascinated how some people very early recognize the pertinence of Vedic wisdom and also accept it. Because to me, some other teachings made quite some sense, I mean, similar to Vedic wisdom, so I was not so eager to accept it and surrender. Do you think if in your university some other psychologist besides this Skinner guy was taught that you might be more reluctant to join Hare Krishna movement?
Who?
This Skinner. You mentioned Skinner.
Oh, B.F. Skinner. Yeah, yeah, my Aracharya. One of the bigger demons. Was that, yeah. Well, that's Pavlo, but that was where he took it from, is Pavlo. That we're all simply conditioned, and that you just have the stimuli and immediately there will be a reaction immediately. And most people are like that. It's a fact. There's no intelligence, so there's nothing between there's nothing to block the reaction. Whatever enters into the ear goes out the other one because there's nothing in between. Yeah, everyone, yeah, we're conditioned. So only if you have some real intelligence can you actually think before you act. If you have something to think about before you act. Otherwise people just, there's a stimuli and you get a response because there's nothing in between. As far as others at the university, I mean, I preach at universities for many years and made different engagements because I went to the University of Texas also. And we try to make engagements at the universities there. And the most difficult department to get any engagement was the psychology department because they're trained up to be born again demons. Everything is, whether, of course there's other different types of psychology. There's, someone called Maslow, and there was Jung and others. But generally speaking, most of the universities that we try to get engagement with, they were all completely materialistic. Every other department was more likely to be receptive than the psychology department. Psychology. Anyone. Even the engineering department was more receptive to our philosophy. Chemistry department. Biology probably wasn't so good. It's probably said poor frogs. Some Indian lady said, "Swamiji, I'm a biologist." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, poor frogs." Because they dissect frogs in biology. Anything else? Thank you very much. Karandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.